Jeremiah chapter number 6 tonight. Jeremiah chapter number 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse number 7. And as we come to verse number 7 in Jeremiah chapter 6, God's speaking here in the nation of Israel. She's in sin, she's in rebellion, and covetousness and idolatry and all kinds of things going on here. And most of all, more specifically, he's preaching here specifically at or to the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible says this in verse number 7, "As a fountain casteth out her water, so casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall throughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together, for even the husband with the wife shall be taken." Thank you. "The age with him that is a full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord." You see, as we'll stop there in verse 12, and then we'll finish the rest of it, which will be the text here for tonight. But you can see that God is not happy at all with Jerusalem. He's not happy at all with the nation of Israel. And as we come here into verses 13 down through maybe about number 16 here, we're going to see some very clear parallels from that crowd back then to what's going on in this world today. All right? And so we'll see it here, and we'll pick it up in verse number 13. "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of my daughter, the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye." Here he is. He's talking to the remnant here. Here he's going to talk. He's going to speak, and he's going to give a glimmer of hope in the midst of this judgment. And he's going to say this: "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Father, I want to thank you so much tonight for your precious word. And I thank you, Lord, how your book is like the USA today. As we look into that, and as we see the parallels of modern day society and the day in which we live, and I pray tonight that you would convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And God, I pray tonight that you would be so clear to our needs, those that need salvation, that need to come to you personally. Would you work and would you move and draw them unto yourself, and the Christians that need strengthened and encouraged, and those that perhaps are on the fence or on the wrong way, God, would you work and would you move, because we need you desperately. We're people, we are but dust, you told us, and we recognize that tonight and realize we need thee every hour. Would you work and would you move now, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And again, as we come into Jeremiah chapter 6, Jeremiah is preaching his heart out here to the nation of Israel, more specifically to Jerusalem. And it says there in verse 7, "As a fountain cast out water, so this city casteth out her wickedness." She's full of violence, covetousness, disobedience. Folks, so is our world today, no doubt. The prophets and religious leaders preach what the people want to hear, not what they need to hear. They preach it for gain. And all too much a picture of like our modern day world. I want you to see three parables tonight. We'll see three parables from the Word of God tonight in this passage that shed some light on our society today, on our world today. The first thing I want us to see tonight, right there in verse number 14, is the talk of peace. The talk of peace. Says there in Jeremiah 6 and verse 14, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You see, as Jeremiah preaches of the imminent judgment and destruction of Israel, imminency simply means that it can happen like right now. Just like the rapture of the church tonight. Nothing needs to take place in prophecy tonight for Jesus Christ to come back in the air and take out his bride. Amen. Nothing. It is imminent. Anytime it can take place. Ladies and gentlemen, we must be ready. We must be ready for the rapture. Now, here he is. He's preaching against her idolatry and her wickedness. And the false prophets, though, and the priests are preaching messages of love and of peace without warning of the wrath to come. I want to tell you, there's preachers, there's religious leaders today that are preaching what people want to hear, and they get paid big bucks for it. And I want to tell you, they're not preaching the truth. Amen. But there's some other things going on down the back road to Coburn, right? Bring that thing right on around and come up there through Milheim. Maybe go down toward Aaronsburg there. You know, if you'll drive Route 45 through Milheim and those back roads, you'll see flags with peace signs, won't you? What are they doing? Well, certainly they're advocating world peace, right? Really? Now, may I say tonight, maybe those folks in their hearts are. They really do want peace in their hearts individually. But whether they know it or not, the peace sign began as a symbol of satanic benediction during satanic rituals. Did you know that tonight? Yes, it did. It's the inverted cross. Look at that thing. It's Antichrist from the word go. For the last 2,000 years, this symbol has been delineated hatred of Christians. It's called the Neronic cross. All right? Why the Neronic cross? Because Nero, the emperor of Rome, back in the days of the apostles, crucified Peter upside down. Think of how the peace sign looks. It's upside down cross. All right? Peter was crucified upside down. It's the Neronic cross. In 1958, the peace sign was reintroduced in that time of disarmament during the cold years there with Russia, right? Or certainly right after the World War II. All right? And however, those that reintroduced it are making an attempt to rewrite history, because occultist Albert Pike, in his book on Freemasonry, Morals and Dogma, identifies the symbol, the peace sign, as mystical. It's called the crow's foot. It's called the witch's foot. It's called the Nero cross. It's called the sign of the broken Jew. It signifies the death of man. All right? One former witch said this: during the Dark Ages, it was used in Druid witchcraft and by Satanists for all sorts of initiations for new members. Listen, we as the children of God, God have to be aware of what's going on in this world system. We've got to have a biblical worldview, not a false worldview that the fake news and the liberal media wants to shove down our throats. Amen. And by the way, the conservative media, whatever you want to say. Listen, we need to know this book. I've heard it said, I've said it three times this week, there's three kinds of people in the world. Those that are afraid, those that don't know enough to be afraid, and those that know their Bibles. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, may you give God your life, your heart, and know this book, and let him get the glory out of your life that he rightfully deserves. You were created for his glory, friend. Revelation says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure thou art and were created. That's why we were created tonight. Heaven itself exists for the worship of God. We might as well just start right now. Amen. We ought to start right now. That's what God wants from us. A life that honors him. But again, this world system propaganda continues on. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 3 says this, "For when they shall say peace and safety," a lot of that today, isn't there? We're going to have all kinds of government regulation. Why? Well, we've got to keep everybody safe. Hey, man, that's the spirit of the day. That's right. Listen, do you understand tonight? It comes right out of this book. Do you understand the politics and everything that's going on that you see in the newspapers, that you see on the internet for the news and the television stations and all the rest? It comes right out of here. Yes, it does. Isaiah, do you do that? No, I'm kidding. It comes right out of this book, guys. How many of you have read the 2030 World Peace Agenda of the United Nations? I'm just going to give you a little sample of that tonight. All right? The United Nations. It's wicked. I'm just going to nail it down tonight. That's what it is. Plain and simple. The 2030 Agenda for World Peace. Now, you watch it, how it parallels in our United States of America here. The United Nations was formed October 24th, 1945, all right? Right after the Second World War. You know, I said about that peace sign, that didn't come out until 1958, so I was wrong about that. It wasn't right after World War II. It came out in 1958, but nonetheless, that's neither here nor there. The first goal of the United Nations 2030 Agenda, now by the way, it is a good goal, listen. To end poverty in all forms everywhere. Now that is a good thing. Yeah. But folks, how they're going to do it is another story. Amen. All right? They're going to put everybody on welfare and food stamps so they can depend upon the government to accomplish that thing. The Obama era, and you've got the Clintons, and you've got this liberal agenda coming down through here, folks. That is where the welfare, they want to bring that thing down, and they want to make sure that everybody's wealth is distributed, you see. And we'll get to that here in a little bit. But, and by the way, I'm not against welfare if folks need it. If you need it, you need it. We ought to take care of our own, amen? We ought to. I'm not talking about that. But, nonetheless, another goal of theirs is to ensure healthy lives and promote well-being for all. Boy, it sounds good, doesn't it? To ensure healthy lives and promote well-being for all. You know, they're going to make it law to vaccinate all children. No choice in the matter. It's going to be law. They're going to push heavy medication, all right, for the use of children and teens. Ritalin, right? Whatever. This kid's got ADDD. This kid's got blah, 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 whatever. No. Hey, no. Apparently eliminate the word of God, eliminate the spankings, eliminate those things, just drug the kid up, okay? So that's what they're going to do here. They're going to promote psychiatric help for all. Psychology is the only true authority, and you'll be dependent upon that. And that's going to come through that welfare system, all right? And I want to tell you what, it's right here in the United States right now. That's what they're pushing. Now, the fourth thing here. They want to ensure inclusive and equitable quality education and promote lifelong learning opportunities for all. Sounds really good, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. No, do you know what they want to do? They want to push a false history and a dumbed-down education under Common Core to produce obedient workers rather than independent thinkers. Amen. That's what they're doing. Yeah. Right in a public school, right down here in Penns Valley. Amen. That's what's going on. All right? And they want to rewrite history. They don't want to talk about how God created the heaven and the earth. They want to talk about millions and millions of years with evolution. You know what? They don't want to talk about the founding fathers and the faith that they had in the God of the Bible. They want to talk about everything else and say that that had nothing to do with it. No. And that's taking place right now in our public school systems. Number five, They want to achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls. See, preacher, you got something against women? Nope, I married one. Got nothing against them. Really like her. Wouldn't give her up. No, sir. No, sir. You know what they want to do? Achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls? They want to criminalize Christianity because man's headed home. All right? They want to marginalize heterosexuality. What's that mean? They want to make it not such a big deal that a guy's straight. They want to demonize males. Is that going on or what? Yeah. All right? They want to promote the LGBTQ agenda or the homosexual agenda, the transgender agenda. Why do they want to promote this? What is the use of all this? Why are they doing this? You know what? They don't want it to be exposed. Do you know why? They want to feminize the entire society. Well, why do they want to do that? They want to feminize the entire society because it is only male energy that has the strength to rise up against oppression and tyranny and to fight for human rights. If they can keep you at bay and just, well, just keep them, just kind of keep them down there, they can do what they want. This is the United Nations, folks. We're talking about a one world government. We're talking about Lucifer at the head of that thing. And if he can make a man be a woman and a woman be a man, he can absolutely destroy God's design. He can absolutely destroy the family. Look at the machine guns of wickedness against the home and the family to divide, to destroy. This is it. This is the plan. Dumb them down. Put all the queer agenda on the television set, right? Make sure we have the Big Bang Theory. Make sure we got the man and the woman, or the man and the man getting married, and the woman getting married. Make sure Ellen DeGeneres can do whatever she wants on that thing. But you know what? Let's demonize the white male. Let's demonize even the black male. Let's demonize all of them. That's how it is. See, what's that got to do with the Bible? Everything. That's what's going on. You see. Yes, sir. Now, please bear with me. I got a point to all this. Another goal. To reduce inequality. Watch it now. To reduce inequality within and among countries. Wouldn't it something how old Barack Obama go over and apologize for everybody? Hey, to go apologize for our nation. Bow down to everybody. The new guy we got in is not doing that. No, in fact, he went just about as far to say, well, looking, boys, you don't straighten up here. We're getting a bad deal. We're going to pull out of the United Nations. Why? Because he believes in sovereignty. And when he believes in sovereignty, and by the way, you better believe in sovereignty tonight. Sovereign nation. We stand on our own. Why? One world government doesn't want that. Why? They want everybody together. They want to bring down the barriers. That's why. Yes, sir. Globalism. Globalistic economy. I don't want the euro. I want the dollar. I don't want meters. I want inches. Enough. Enough of it. Unless. Now, yes, they want to say reduce inequality within the other countries. Okay? They want to punish the rich and those who work for their money. And they want to redistribute that wealth to those who don't work. That's what they want to do. And that's what they're doing in this nation and a lot. By the way, those that need welfare, I'm all for it. I think we ought to take care of our own. That is right. So don't think I'm cold-hearted. No, 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 no. Not going there. But they want to end capitalism and bring in socialism. Made this country what it is. Another goal. I'm just about done with these goals. There's 30 of them. I'm only giving you maybe 7 here, okay? They want to make cities and human settlements. Did you hear that? They want to make cities and human settlements inclusive. That's a fancy word, isn't it? Safe, resilient, and sustainable. That's what they want to make them. Now, what do they mean by that? Well, if you're going to make your cities safe, folks, you got to get rid of all the guns. Right? Are we seeing a push for that now? Yes, sir. One world government. That's what we're seeing coming right from this book. Now, can we think of it any other way? Listen, it is the end days. It's the last days. Jesus is coming.
Amen.
All right? But we need a biblical worldview. So, they're going to promote and encourage people to live in cities. You say, well, how are they going to do that? Do we have property rights? Do we really own our property today?
No.
I'm going to tell you right now, that 2030 agenda, that 30 foot you got to put off the property line to set your back, they say that that's long-term planning. I don't think so. That's just so you get used to them having control of your property. And they're going to do, and they want people to move into the cities because then they can have control. They don't want everybody out here, and they're going to do it in the name of going green so nobody can live by the stream and pollute it. So nobody can pollute the forest, and everything can be, have all these natural resources, and we're going to keep everybody out because you're going to have everybody in welfare, the government. You're not going to have anybody with guns, and a select few are going to be over all of them. Say, preacher, that's a wild dream. No. It's coming. You watch. That's what they're after. Now, many of this might come after the Antichrist takes the scene and the church is raptured, because there's one thing tonight stopping it all from unfolding. Do you know what it is? It's the restraining power of the Holy Spirit of God. It is because there are believers in this world that know Christ as Savior, and because of the true church that restrains that evil and not allows it to happen. That's why. Now, their idea of a society being sustainable is to penalize the use of coal, gas, and oil. All right? Use social media and advertisement and TV to shame people who use, in their opinion, too much gas, water, and electricity. Now, I could go on tonight. This is Al Gore's thing here. He's right with them. Global warming is a big farce. And it's a lie. And it's not scientifically proven, no matter what they say. The UN 2030 agenda aims to take the freedom of all Americans and really the world, and it is anti-Christ from the word go. It is a recipe for socialism. Daniel 8:25 says this, and listen, how long ago was Daniel written? Long time. It's prophetic. Talking about the Antichrist. But here, we've got the spirit of the Antichrist leading up to this thing. Had the League of Nations first, of course, and then you had the United Nations all in the name of peace. I know. It says, and through his policy, that's the Antichrist, Daniel chapter 8, verse 25, and through his policy also he shall cause craft. Craft simply means deception. He shall cause deception to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself. Of course, that's what the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to magnify himself as God. He's going to sit in the God, or he's going to sit in the temple of God and show that he is God. And he wants to be worshipped like God. Okay? And that will happen. That is going to take place in the future. But here he is. He shall magnify himself in his heart and by peace. Do you hear the words? And by peace destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, that's Jesus Christ, but he shall be broken without hand. The whole world system, on the forefront, the whole nine yards, you got the false prophets, you got the Mosaic, you got the Pope, the whole nine yards are right in this world agenda. And that is the facts of the matter, all right? And so we have here in Jeremiah 6 and verse 13, peace, peace. Folks, and there is no peace. That's not what they want. It's peace. Isaiah 9 and verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of what?
Peace.
Listen to this. Verse 7 says, and of the increase of his government, and that's coming, by the way, that's the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is coming. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. I'm going to ask you tonight, please understand something. We're at the end times. The coming of Jesus Christ, or should I say, the rapture of the church is imminent. That means it can take place at any time. In the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. At the last trump. It says, the dead in Christ shall be raised in incorruption, but they will be incorruptible. In other words, when we meet Jesus Christ in the air, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse about 16, whatever it is, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's all those that were Christians before they died are in the graves. Those graves are literally going to open up, and they're going to meet Jesus Christ in the air, and they're going to be changed in midair from into being in likeness of Jesus Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. When the church or the bride of Christ is taken out of this world, all hell breaks loose on this earth. It starts the Jacob's trouble, the seven-year tribulation period. All right? And that is going to be a time of refining for the nation of Israel, for the Jews, because God's going to come back and he's going to deal with his people, with the 144,000 Jewish evangelists that are going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Now, here's the thing. After the seven-year tribulation period, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ will be set up. That is where the government shall be upon Jesus' shoulders. The question I have for you tonight, are you going to be in that? Are you going to be there with him? The Bible says that we're going to sit as Christians, the New Testament church, that means those that know Jesus as Savior, right now, will sit with him in his throne. That's what it says in the book of Revelation, as his bride. Are you part of the bride tonight? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved by the grace of God tonight? Listen, the Bible says that death and hell will eventually be cast into the lake of fire. It's the second death. The Jewish Holocaust and all the torture in ever the world has ever known is child's play compared to that place called hell. Complete despair, regret, the depths of absolute horror and pain. Listen, but Jesus made a way out of that place.
Amen.
The Bible says that Jesus Christ was despised and rejected of men. Now, folks, he still is in this world today. He's still despised and rejected. He was then, too. But listen to how it goes. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he, that's Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. Transgression, sin. Not a man and a woman in the building tonight say, I never sinned. Not a one. But Jesus was wounded for every one of our sins. Amen. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord, that's God the Father, hath laid on him, that's Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. And all the wrath and anger and fury of a holy God was poured upon Jesus Christ that day. He was our substitute. He got everything we deserved. He took the punishment of hell and of sin and of everything, because God hurled out his anger on his son. He took our punishment so that we wouldn't have to take it. And a lot of religions and a lot of churches, mainline denominations across this land will say, yep, Jesus died for everybody, so everybody's going to be saved. No, sir, it's a choice.
Amen.
You must receive Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 1 and verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power or the authority to become the sons of God. It is a gift. It's a gift.
Amen.
It is a free gift. It's nothing we can do to earn it. Baptism won't save you. Church membership won't save you.
Amen.
Giving to charity won't save you. Giving your life savings to the church won't save you. Listen, Grace Baptist Church won't save you. The Lutheran Church down here won't save you. The Lutheran Church up here won't. The Methodist Church, anywhere. No church will save you. The Catholic Church won't save you. Jesus Christ and him alone.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Do you know for sure you belong to Christ tonight? Please, I'd get down on my hands and knees. I'd beg everyone to come to him. Please come to him. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Listen, folks, the only rest there is in Jesus' arms tonight.
Amen.
There's nothing. Listen, look at the world. Look at what's going on in our lives and our circumstances. Things are crazy. There's no rest. Peace. Listen, if we're going to, we need him desperately. Be sure you know him personally. A friend of mine, a Catholic man, said to me, he said, I told him the gospel, and he looked at me. He said, yeah. He says, well, he says, my dad was Catholic, and he said, and I believe the same thing he does. And if he's in hell, that's okay. I'll go to hell, and I'll be with him. He said, that's all. I want to tell you tonight, and I want to say it so very clearly tonight. In Luke chapter 16, when that rich man went to hell, he was yelling out of hell to God, whoever would listen, so that his brothers would not go in that place. He said, I never want to see my family again. Imagine that tonight. Think of your family and your friends, everything, saying, I don't ever want to see him again. That's what that man was, that desperate. He was in the pit, in hell, and he said, I don't ever want to see him again. Please don't let him come here. If that man's dad is in hell, well, I know, have no idea. Maybe he trusted the Lord. I don't know. But if he is, he's saying, don't come here. Dear friends, it's horrible. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not go to hell, but have everlasting life. Number one, tonight, we see that there is a talk of peace. But number two, tonight, I want you to see also, there's an acceptance of sin today. Okay? And in verse 15, it says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay. No, they weren't. That's what it says. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Were they ashamed? No. They couldn't even blush. Much of this generation today has no fear of God. I'm going to tell you something. Growing up, I didn't. Christians, the more we know about the Word of God, the more fear we'll have of Him.
Amen.
The Bible says in Proverbs 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You know, it's not the daycare that's the beginning of knowledge for a young person. It's not the public school system. It's not our places of higher education. No, it's fear of the Lord. Where do you get it? Here. Here. Boy, it'd be just great America get back to its bearings. Amen?
Amen.
Come on back. You know. Yeah. Now, I know of a young couple that were getting ready to get married. And they had a heart to honor the Lord with their relationship. And some friends came to them. Some friends that were together, but they weren't married, but they were living together. And they said to these people that were getting ready to get married, they said, hey, why aren't you guys living together? And the guy looked at him and said, well, because we're not married yet.
Amen.
Sort of backpedaling. Right? Why? Why? Hey, that answer caused that couple that were living outside of marriage to kind of be surprised and to be sort of put on the defensive. But listen, Jude 1 and verse 7, the Word of God talks about Sodom and Gomorrah giving themselves over to fornication. Listen, I'm just saying this. Today's sin's accepted. It's accepted. I know a situation where a young girl had a baby out of wedlock. Now listen, if that happens, that happens. But let's not celebrate the sin. Okay? Things do happen. I know a young girl had a baby out of wedlock. A local church puts a big shower on for her. Know what I'm talking about? And it's all a happy thing. Oh, congratulations. Oh, congratulations. Are you kidding me? Listen. We're in trouble today, according to the book.
Amen.
People don't like it. Hey, listen, the world doesn't like that preaching.
Right.
But it's God's way. I know of a young man came to me one day, worked at Penn State at the time. He says, a guy wasn't married. He looks at me and goes, hey, I'm going to be a daddy. I said, I didn't know what to say to the guy. I wanted to say, you're not married. That's what I wanted to say to the guy. You know, I said, oh, man. And I want to tell you, he wanted to be congratulated. Here's the thing. Christian, you know this book. We must handle these situations not looking down our nose at people, though. Yes, it is wrong, and it shouldn't be celebrated. But listen, here's the thing. They need the Lord Jesus. Amen. And we've got to have compassion, and that can be very tricky dealing with that. And you need God's wisdom to deal with that. Guy comes to me and says that, well, wait a minute. Yeah, that might be sin that he did that, but this guy here needs the Lord. Yeah. And if I go, whoa, 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 he don't want anything to do with God. Yeah. And that's not right either. But there is an acceptance of sin today. You see. Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love, even as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor, walking in love. Acceptance of sin. Talks about these priests here speaking peace to everybody. Prosperity preacher Joel Osteen claims that you will have health, wealth, and prosperity if you will just think positive about yourself. Okay? Joel teaches that a high self-esteem is the answer. That God wants us to feel good about ourselves no matter what we do in our lives. Joel does not preach on sin and its consequences, folks. Okay? He doesn't. You will not hear him preach on a message on repentance or humility or brokenness or God's judgment upon sin. The fact that we need a Savior. Joel will not talk about those things. He will not talk about hellfire and those who reject, awaits those who reject Jesus Christ. He doesn't preach the wages of sin is death. He preaches think positive. Joel Osteen is a false prophet yelling peace, peace, when there is no peace. And I say that to you tonight, I say that to you because I know he's popular. But I love you enough to tell you tonight that that guy is not somebody you want to listen to.
Amen.
Listen, folks, every one of us in here needs straight preaching. We need to come to a place in our lives that even if we don't want to hear it, I'll tell you what, when I go to church, I want my toes tramped on.
Amen.
I need it. Because I'll tell you what, this guy here, he's not always straight. That's truth. I need my toes tramped on to keep me right. And I want to tell you what, the joy that it brings when I get my toes tramped on and I make that thing right, I'm right with God.
Amen.
Why? Because if we sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, that's what he said. Simply confess them. I need that tonight. But Joel's ministry adds to the world's confusion. Isaiah 5, verses 20 and 21. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. I saw an interview with Joel. He goes, well, I just think. I don't care what he thinks. I want to know what God thinks.
Yeah. Amen.
I just think that this, whatever. 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves. Ezekiel 13, 3 says, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit. Folks, we would be appalled this evening to know and to think of the corruption. Listen, I'm just going to preach the way it is, all right? In the local churches across the land. Maybe even in this church. I don't know. But I mean to tell you, there in churches today, we see it coming out in the news and all different things. But hey, from adultery, affairs to extortion to fornication, strongholds of bitterness, of pornography, abuse, even pedophilia, and people look one way at church, go live like they want to rest of the week. Put on a good show. We've got to get the mask off.
Amen.
How many times I'll talk to somebody, a lost soul, and they'll say, yeah, well, I went to church once, and the people did this, this, and this. Well, I often say, well, you're not going to stand before God for those people. You're going to stand before God for you. But here's the thing. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, we need to be different than that. See? Yep. And it goes unchecked in our churches. The world looks at the church and says, well, that's not quite any different than me. Let me ask you something. Between you and God tonight. Just between you and God tonight. Is your life really different than the rest of the world? Is it? Is your thinking really different than the rest of the world? Is your walk really different than others that are out here in the world? Does your righteousness reflect their corruption? It should. Now, our righteousness is in Christ. We don't do right so we can get to heaven. We do right because we're going to heaven. We do right because we belong to Jesus. We do right because we want to please Him. It's not that you do right. If you don't do right, you'll go to hell. No, if you don't trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you go to hell. Amen. We do right to please the Lord. It's relationship. But across the land, many times, pastors don't want to confront open sin. Don't want to rock the boat. May I say the deacons? May I say the elder board, whatever you want to call it, they don't want to deal with that. After all, the attendance might drop. Right? No. So many times the goats in the church, those that are unsaved, are catered to, while the sheep and the true believers are floundering and starving. Listen, we need to lovingly stand against sin. To maintain that purity and that difference between God's church and the world. As someone is in sin, the goal isn't for us to beat them up and give them a hard time. The goal is for them to repent and to be restored back into the fold. I'm talking about bringing God glory through, yes, the local church and through His ways. Not just letting it go unchecked. Dads, moms, we've got a big responsibility in our homes. Dads, your young lady comes out dressed to kill. You better put a cap on that.
Amen.
They don't know. They just need taught. They need to know. You need to tell them. Mom, you need to be an example.
Yep, amen.
Don't teeter on the edge. We must be different. And I'm not talking legalistic. It needs to be just like this. Boom, boom, boom. The right haircut, the right dress, right. No. We need to just honor God with our lives as we know it according to the book. Do you dress to impress or do you dress for your Lord? That's what we must look at. Number one, we saw a talk of peace. Number two, an acceptance of sin. Number three tonight, I want us to see the old path. The old path. Folks, there's an old path. There's an old path of peace tonight. There's an old path that leads to the city of glory. There's an old path tonight that you can get on and have glorious, glorious peace. Now listen, Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. In that tribulation, in that trial, as you stand and hide in the cleft of the rock, you know the old song, amen? The cleft of the rock. There's peace. There's security. In the midst of this world's philosophy and all the deception and misplaced motivation and values, all the false teaching says all roads lead to heaven. All religions lead to God. No. Nope. And then we come to verse 16. I want you to see it so loud and clear right here. It says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way. And walk therein. Stand ye in the ways and see. I think of a weary traveler walking down a narrow, dusty road. And he comes up to, we travel and we preach in some places. That New Jersey, they got turnarounds or comarounds, whatever it is, like five intersections coming together. And I'm looking at it like a calf at a new gate. I have no idea. I'm going to run into somebody, And I don't know what's going on with those things, but that's what it is. It's like five things coming together there. And then there's a weary traveler coming up, and he looks at all these ways, and he's not sure which way to go. And one way says, Watchtower Society, right? Jehovah's Witnesses. The same sign says, Church of Latter-day Saints, this way. Catholicism, this way. New Age movement, this way. All roads lead to heaven, this way. That's one way. And not only is there a sign there, but there's a guy telling you, throwing books at you, telling you you need to go that way, right? And then, but oh, wait a minute. There's another way that says, oh, this way. Atheism. Skepticism. Oh, no absolutes. There's nothing real in the world, you know. Psychology, prescription drugs in the name of mental health, evolutionism, socialism. Let's go this way. And then there's guys. Hey, come on. Then there's another road, right? And this one says fame, fortune. Make money. Go to Hollywood. Take in all that. You can have it as long as you bow to this world systems or value. You can have it all if you're like the NFL and bow the knee during the national anthem. You can have it all, right? You can be a great success. And that's that way right there. And then you know what happens? When that doesn't work out, then there's another road. Drugs, alcohol, addiction, depression, oppression, even despair. And here's this weary traveler standing in all these ways, and he's looking around going, what? Oh, how the heart of God must rejoice when a weary traveler says, you know, I see all these ways here. And he asks, hey, where are the old paths? Amen?
Amen.
Where's the old paths at here? Oh, how we need some folks tonight to say, listen, where are these here old paths? I need to get on that old path. You see? Blessed. It's peaceful. It's full of life. It takes effort. Listen, look at verse 16. It says, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Doesn't it take some effort to get on the old path? When I first got saved, I so wanted to know Jesus Christ as Savior. I wanted to know Him personally, more intimately. I wanted to know all about the Bible I could. But you know, it takes work. It takes time. It takes asking. Yeah. You know, the main idea here is simply walking in the good way, and His name is Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Maybe there's someone in here tonight, you say, well, I'm not sure I'm on that way. Oh, yeah, I've done the religious thing. Oh, yeah. Listen, friends. It's not about sitting in church on Sunday morning. It's about a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you right now, yes, we ought to come to church because that's how we learn. That's how we get instruction from the Word of God. And you've got a man of God that stands and he studies and he preaches, and where we get our toes tramped on, I want to come, no doubt. But I'll tell you what, you can be right out there in the woods on the top of a mountain somewhere looking out over that valley saying, God, You're everything. It's called worship, and it's every day. And you can be standing at work in the midst of the office when the boss is chewing you out, and you're hearing, yes, you're hearing what he's saying, but at the same time, you're saying, yeah, but Lord, You're everything. I messed up here. It's a lifestyle. It's a life. It's Christ's life. Jesus, or the Apostle Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. What's that mean? It means that he identifies with Jesus Christ no matter what. That's what it means. It means he's going to take up his cross and he's going to follow Jesus. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. When you got saved, the Spirit of God came and indwells you. Amen. This isn't the house of God tonight, nor is any other building in this entire world tonight the house of God. Dear friend, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you're saved tonight, this is the house of God. God indwells believers today. It's called the New Testament church, Amen. The true church. And if you're saved tonight, you're part of it. If you're not saved tonight, you're out in darkness, and you need Christ.
Amen.
We could talk about being yellow, black, white in this world, and we could talk about racism and all the forms. God sees men two ways. Lost people, saved people. Lost people, Christians. That's the difference. Not about a skin color. There shouldn't be an ounce of racism in any of us tonight. So the way they say it. No, sir. And it says, and ye shall find rest for your souls. I got one word for you. Simplicity. It's simple. Childlike faith in this precious God, in His Word. You see, that's why there's rest in Jesus Christ, in His Word, in His ways. You see, most people's lives today, sad to say, including mine sometimes, aren't really simple, right? Not really restful. Not really peaceful today. I'm speaking to someone tonight that is struggling to stay on the old path, or someone struggling to get on the old path from the start. And they have a mind full of turmoil and unrest and fear and need to come back into the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. Psalm 61, 1 through 3 says, hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou, listen to it. Can you say this about your God tonight? Can you say it personally to Him, because you know Him personally? You know that He is yours and you are His. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me. Amen. And a strong tower from the enemy. Can you say that tonight? Simple childlike faith in His Word. His promises that He'll take care of your worries, your fears, your stresses. No one cares like Jesus. No one. I'll close tonight this illustration. Hardly ever fails, and I preach different churches. As I come, and usually the folks will go by and they'll come out and they'll shake hands, say, good message, preacher, or they'll say, they didn't like what I said, and they'll walk by and won't say anything, and whatever, okay, that's fine. But here's the thing. There's always this man or this lady that comes out in their 80s or 90s. Okay? They got the cane, maybe the wheelchair. They can't hardly hear. Their eyesight's bad. You know? They once were married, but now their spouse had died, and they'd had family struggles and different things, and now they're all alone in their house, and they'll say something to me like this. Preacher, shake my hand. The Lord's been so good to me over the years. I don't know what people do without Him. And I watch that old, battle-scarred saint walk out the door with a peace in their heart that passes any understanding any of us could ever see. Do you need simplicity in your life tonight? Listen, we've preached a lot of things tonight. What's your need? Let Jesus fill your need.
Amen.
Keep Jesus Christ the main thing. Folks, we've seen tonight the old paths. We've seen the old book. We've seen the good way. Choice is yours tonight. Let's stand for prayer. Eyes closed and heads bowed tonight. Who'd say, preacher, you pray for me. And that's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to call you for it. There's not going to be nothing like that. Just, preacher, you pray for me. I'm not sure that I belong to Christ.